शिलोंशनां विप्रावृतिश्च चोरधेयां श्रेयासी चौथरोतरा.
As an alternative, a Brahmin may also take to the Vaishya's occupational duty of agriculture, cow protection, or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in the field by its proprietor, or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain dealers. These are the four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by Brahmins. Among these four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Purport: A Brahmin is sometimes offered land and cows in charity, and thus for his livelihood he may act in the same way as a Vaishya. By cultivating land, giving protection to cows, and trading off his surpluses. A better process, however, is to pick up grains from a field or from a dealer's shop without begging.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha.
Here we are given an example of the standard of progress in a civilized culture based on spiritual principles. It is quite the opposite of the standard of success that we find in our modern society, which is simply based on sense gratification. You see, amongst those materialistic persons, one is successful according to the degree of sense gratification he is able to enjoy. If a person has great wealth, or high education, or great power and influence, this will facilitate a much greater degree of sense gratification that one can enjoy in life. So therefore, these things are considered very exalted. People are very envious of one another in this society when somebody else has more wealth, more beauty, higher education, better birth, or in other words, more facility for sense gratification. Just like everyone in the world has heard of Mr. Rockefeller. He's considered a very, very respected and successful man in this world because he has so much money. But here we find that amongst those who have proper intelligence, they honor and respect a person according to the degree that that person is detached from sense gratification, is able and willing to live without the things that provide sense gratification. When a sadhu sees a wealthy man enjoying his riches, the people of this world are very envious. They all want to be like him. But the sadhu pities that person. He sees that the only wealth is bhakti. There is no other wealth. Everything else is simply a disturbance, if it is not helping in the progress of our bhakti. And to the degree one can live a simple life without these articles for sense gratification, to that degree that person is considered advanced in civilization. Just like, of course, we have the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. His father was most wealthy, And he had a beautiful wife. And he had so much respect and prestige within the society. But he was willing to give it all up. For what? To live the most simple and austere life that anyone has ever seen. Raghunath Das Goswami was living in a very big mansion with the finest cooks, the finest servants, all the luxuries that everyone is striving and working so hard for. And he had to undergo a tremendously difficult endeavor to get away from it. His parents were forcing sense gratification upon him. And just the thought that he would leave all his sense gratification was breaking the heart of his mother and father. Recently, someone was telling us that you cannot make spiritual advancement unless you take a path that gets the full blessings of your mother. Of course, if your mother is a transcendentalist, that is true. But in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, he completely shattered the hearts of his mother and father. He was a married man. And he was the only son. And his father had a very, very big business worth billions and billions of rupees. And he was completely depending on Raghunath alone to take over everything. He educated Raghunath with the finest education, with the finest culture. And here Raghunath was willing to just leave it all behind. His parents were so much disturbed. In fact, they were so much disturbed that they had guards, 11 guards constantly watching him to make sure he did not escape. But by the arrangement of the Supreme God, Sri Chaitanya, he was able to get away. And he went to Jagannath Puri. And there was nothing his parents could do except cry. So what was happening is his parents, they started sending money to support him in Jagannath Puri. But he would not even accept that money. First, he was just living a simple life and he was taking that money and sponsoring nice feasts for all the devotees. But then he wouldn't even do that. He was just sitting like a beggar in front of the Singhadwara gate of Jagannath Temple, and whoever would give him some alms, some donation of food stuffs, he would accept it. He became a beggar. And then he was thinking that even a beggar, there's too much sense gratification. Huh? So what he would do is the shopkeepers, after they would finish selling all the prasad of Jagannath, whatever was left at the end of the day, they would feed that rice to the cows in a certain particular place where the cows would gather. And the cows would eat that rice throughout the day. And at the end of the day, the particles of rice that were stale and were unedible to the cows that they spit out or left behind, Raghunath at night, nobody would see him. He would come and collect those grains of rice and eat that once a day. You notice, he did not do it so that he would become famous to be renounced. Because nobody even knew he was doing it. He would do it secretly. You see, sense gratification, there are many levels. Physical sense gratification is difficult to give up. But subtle sense gratification is even more difficult. Sometimes we find people who do very severe fasts, but they are very happy when everyone knows about their fasting. Because although physically they are torturing themselves, their false ego is being nourished with a huge feast of glorification and praise. But Raghunath Das Goswami was utterly detached from any desire from sense gratification on any level. He would come at night and secretly take this food. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being all pervasive, he could understand. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Raghunath Das Goswami's house, he said, "Raghunath, what are you eating?" He came just at the time Raghunath was about to take his prasad. Raghunath didn't want to tell Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew exactly where his bowl was and grabbed it from him. And he began to eat it himself. Swarup Damodar said, "My dear Lord, you should not eat this decomposed rice. You've already had enough. You've had one portion. That's enough to satisfy the universe." And Lord Chaitanya, he said, "You know, I have tasted so much nice prasad in my life. I have tasted all the varieties of Jagannath prasad, sweetmeats, sabjis, rice, so many different forms. But I have never, ever, ever tasted anything so satisfying as that prasad which Raghunath Das is eating every day. Raghunath, why do you not invite me to come with, to prasad with you? Why you are such a miser? You are keeping such opulent, luxurious dishes only for yourself." Because Mahaprabhu or Bhakta Ganyar Vairagya Pradhan, Rahade ki Prita Hoy Gaur Bhagavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees the devotion within his devotee. And Raghunath Das, he is praised and glorified by all sincere transcendentalists. He is praised for the degree in which he lived a simple life giving up sense gratification. Now, if a gross materialist were to hear the story about Raghunath Das Goswami, they would think he's insane. In the Brahmachari Ashram, we're hoping every Brahmachari will become like Raghunath Das Goswami. But your mother and father, they do not want you to become like Raghunath Das Goswami. They want you to become like Mr. Birla or someone like that, very successful and wealthy in society. So this is the difference between material and spiritual consciousness. Because to the degree we give up sense gratification, to that exact degree we can fix our consciousness on Krishna. And to the degree we are attached to sense gratification, we cannot fix our consciousness on Krishna. Our heart is filled with the attachments for material pleasure. Therefore it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogai swarya prasakta nam tayapa rita chetasam vyabashayatmaka budhir samadho navadiyate. For those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense enjoyment, the resolute determination for bhakti or devotion cannot take place. Of course, it is impossible for anyone in this day and age to come to the level of Raghunath Das Goswami. He is a Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat. We cannot try to imitate him. If we try to imitate such an exalted platform of renunciation, we are certain to fall down from our religious life. But we can understand that this is the standard which we should always keep before us, and we should aspire to follow in his footsteps. Whether one is a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a vanaprast, or a grihastha, we should understand the standard of our real success in life is according to the degree we give up our sense gratification and we detach ourselves from those objects which provide sense gratification. And with that energy that is generally attaching itself to the objects of the senses, we must dovetail it in attaching ourselves to the service of God. Krishna is the enjoyer. Yesterday afternoon, we had the good fortune of visiting one of the prominent acharyas of Madhvacharya's sampradaya. In fact, he is the senior of all these sannyasis in the Madhva sampradaya. He is known as by the name of Palimara Swami. He's about 76 years old. Now this man, he took sannyas when he was only 12 years old. And he lives very simple life, just wears very simple cloth, sits, sleeps on floor, eats very simple foods, has no wife, no family, he has no sense enjoyment. Now people work very hard to raise money for sense gratification. Correct? Palimar Swami is in the process of spending great amounts of his energy to raise funds to buy a crown for Lord Sri Krishna. Now this crown, its cost is 1 crore of rupees. Ah. That's almost $1 million. For 1 crown. It's a crown made out of diamonds. Someone challenged, why don't you feed the poor with this 1 crore of rupees? Why don't you build hospitals with this 1 crore of rupees? Why are you spending all this money to build a crown for Krishna? He said, the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of India, the Prime Minister of England, every time they go somewhere, they have a private jet. They have secret service men protecting them. They are put in very, very high security, very luxurious residence wherever they go. Do you know how much money this costs? They're spending crores of rupees, crores and crores and crores of rupees every year for practically every chief of state in the world. Huh? All the facilities that they try to give him, all the honor, all the prestige. And these people are just kings of just a tiny little tract of land. And yet who's saying, why are they spending crores and crores and crores and rupees to facilitate Rajiv Gandhi or George Bush? Nobody says that. Because they expect he's the prime minister, he's the king. He should have the best facilities. Huh? But Krishna, he is Jagatpate. He is the king of the entire existence. He is the king of all the planets and all the universes and in the entire creation and beyond. So nobody questions when we spend crores and crores and crores of rupees for some tiny little insignificant politician whose domain is some tiny little insignificant tract of land. But when you want to give some nice gesture of glorification for the supreme of all kings, then people of them. Factually, if we were to buy a diamond crown for Krishna every hour of the day, it would not be too much. It would be just a tiny little insignificant gesture of an offering to him. Huh? After all, what do you think the diamonds in this world grow for? The diamonds are there, they're in the ground. The ordinary man has no objection to spend his hard-earned money to give it to his wife or to put on his own finger. But if you put it on God, everyone is saying, why don't you feed the poor? Huh? You are feeding the poor. By watering the root of the tree, everyone is nourished. I remember one time at New Vrindavan, one lady, not at New Vrindavan, but I was in Dayton, Ohio, giving a lecture. And after the lecture, we were having prasad, and one lady who was a very wealthy woman, she saw a picture of Prabhupada's palace of gold. Why you spend so much money building this palace? Why don't you use this money to feed poor people, open hospitals, and do good for the society? I asked her, what kind of car do you drive? She said, a Thunderbird. Now, a Thunderbird costs about $20,000. How much is that in rupees? About three lakhs, huh? 4 lakhs. So I said, why don't you drive a used Ford? You can buy one for $500. Sell your Thunderbird and give $15,500 to the poor. Why don't you do that? The fact is, these devotees are working hard and they're feeding hundreds of poor people every day. And they're also enlightening people. The rich people like you are more poor than the poor people. Driving in your big Thunderbirds, but spiritually you are poverty stricken. So the devotees are factually, they have nothing. They're sleeping on floors. They have nothing for themselves. They're dedicating all their lives to helping others in every way, but they know the most important part of life is to glorify God. So everyone's very quick to criticize as soon as you do something for Krishna. But if you do something for your own sense gratification, everyone just accepts that this is normal life. This is expected. This is how you should live. So Palimar Swami, very simple man. He doesn't have a single piece of jewelry on his own body, but for Krishna, diamond crown. Prabhupada said that when you decorate Krishna beautifully, you lose all desire to decorate yourself. Because you find so much more satisfaction, because Krishna is the enjoyer. If you don't understand how beautiful and wonderful the taste is of decorating Krishna, then you'll think, oh, how enjoyable it is to decorate my own body. It is a higher taste. When we see the beauty of Krishna, it satisfies the soul. When we look in the mirror and see the beauty of ourselves, it temporarily satisfies our senses. But then in a few years, when you look in the mirror and you see all your beauty is gone, then you become very frustrated. You become very sad. Where has my beauty gone? Where has my youth gone? Where has my wealth gone? As you attach yourself to your own senses and the objects, you're simply creating a situation of suffering for the future, because it is temporary. So therefore, here we are finding that the Brahmins, who are the most respected people in society, who are in the highest state of the social ladder, they are the most materially impoverished. And even the great kings, they honor and worship and want to become like the Brahmins. Huh? We read about people like Vishwamitra. When he was living in the forest, wearing only a simple deerskin. And when he came to Ayodhya, Dasarath, who, because he was the king, he had to accept on behalf of God so many things. He had jewels and crown and big throne and beautiful wives and beautiful children and beautiful servants and wonderful living facilities, luxuries beyond our imagination. Huh? But when he saw that Vishwamitra Muni, he bowed down to him, his head, at Vishwamitra's feet. Because he honored that your renunciation is factually a greater opulence than all of my material facilities.
One sannyasi, a very great Gaudiya Vaishnava, was telling me that real opulence is renunciation. That is the highest opulence for a devotee. He said, when you see a king with a crown and you see a sannyasi with a danda, which is more opulent? The sannyasi. This is real opulence. This is real beauty in the eyes of one who is transcendental in vision. So, of course, this does not necessarily mean that we should all become sannyasis. But we have to have our standards properly focused in life. We have to know that bhakti, love, is the real standard of success. And material sense gratification is the standard of degradation. Whether you are a king living in the wealthiest condition, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Priyavrat, Maharaj Rishabdev, they were great, glorious kings. But they were not attached. They were attached to God. They were accepting those facilities only in their service to the Lord. You don't have to give away these things. But we have to give away our worldly attachment for sense gratification, knowing that it is the greatest stumbling block and obstacle for our advancement in devotional service. And therefore, according to the Vedic civilization, the Brahmins accept a vow of poverty. They are not allowed, a Brahmin, according to the Shastra, a Brahmin is not allowed to accept employment. You see, Brahmin is not by birth. Today you see so many shopkeepers, yes, I am Brahmin. But really, according to the Shastric plan, a Brahmin should not accept employment. He should only be giving free of charge spiritual knowledge and spiritual direction. And whatever people give to him, he accepts. And whatever is needed to maintain his body, he maintains. Whatever is needed to maintain his preaching, he maintains. And all the rest he gives for the benefit of others, either by publishing books or by distributing in charity in some way to uplift the spiritual consciousness of others. And in this way, the whole society respects, adores, and trusts the Brahmin because they know that he is not trying to cheat them. They know he has nothing to gain. He is only giving. His only business is giving. And such a person in this condition of life, even the kings and the great Kaurapati Vaishyas, they all bow their heads before him because they know he has the opulence I really want. And when people learn to respect and honor the renunciation of these sannyasis and brahmacharis who are truly in the spirit of compassion and preaching, to that degree the whole society advances spiritually. Recently one of our members was saying that this brahmachari ashram is impractical. Really, if you have a good job, if you're a professional man, if you preach like that, people will honor the integrity of that you're a working man like them and still you're Krishna conscious, but nobody wants to be like the brahmachari. So therefore, brahmachari sannyasis is a useless ashram for preaching. Everyone should get married. Everyone should have a staunch professional image and at the same time preach. And people will honor and respect such persons. But according to Shastra, according to God, that is very good. The grihasthas should all be like that. That is perfect. But the fact is, the grihasthas cannot be like that unless there's those in the renounced order of life setting a standard to show them the way. As I was saying, even great kings of the Vedic times, they were like that. They were perfectly Krishna conscious. They were professional men. They were responsible men, but at the same time they were devotees, and they were preaching, and they were pushing forward the cause of God. But every one of those kings understood that they are completely depending on the example and the instructions of those in the renounced order of life to maintain the integrity of their spiritual consciousness. And that is a fact. That is why there must be the majority of society, grihasthas, who are God-centered, who are detached from sense gratification, but who are living within this society responsibly in the service of Krishna. But there also absolutely must be the class of brahmacharis and sannyasis to maintain the pure standard by which the grihasthas can remain Krishna conscious. To the degree the grihasthas, even the wealthiest grihasthas, they don't have to give away their wealth, but to the degree they honor and respect and adore those sadhus who are dedicating everything in the compassionate mission of uplifting others, and who have given up all the things of this world, to that very degree, they will advance in Krishna consciousness. But however very expert they may be in whatever field of religion and material progress, if they do not have that proper respect and appreciation for the renounced order, then their spiritual life will be checked. So that is why we find in this verse by Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira, the real opulence of the Brahman is his simplicity, his faith in God, his detachment from this material world and his attachment to the mission of the Lord. And whatever walk of life we may be in, we must really try to cultivate within our hearts the aspiration for this as the goal of life. Because, you know, the tendency in this society is, even amongst devotees, we become illusioned by the phantasmagoria of the glitter of this material world. And we start thinking, oh, this person has a better house, this person has a nice car, this person has a big position, this person is very influential. I would like to be like that. I would like to have that. Huh? Or even sometimes we think that having these things is a sign of advancement in spiritual life. And then we start to aspire for these things rather than aspire for Krishna. We should not fall under this illusion. We should know very clearly what is opulence, what is wealth. Wealth is renunciation. Renunciation means no attachment, a simple life attached to Krishna. There's a story of Gadadhar Pandit. When he first met Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a very wealthy man. And he had so much glamour around him. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, oh, this man is very materialistic. What kind of devotee is him? But then one day when someone was reciting Krishna's Leela, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went into ecstatic symptoms. It wasn't a show. It was genuine from the heart. Gadadhar Pandit could see. He was crying. He was rolling. He was destroying everything in his house. He was in such ecstasy. And Gadadhar was thinking, my God, although his responsibility in this world is he has to live in these environments, he's really completely detached. He's really a great saint. He has such attachment for Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit, who is a sannyasi, he accepted Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his guru, who was a worldly man, apparently, with all riches and many responsibilities of this world and a family and everything. So it's not a question of whether you have wealth, it is a question of whether you are attached to the wealth or whether you are attached to Krishna. That is real wealth, attachment to Krishna. So whether you are Pundarik Vidyanidhi or whether you are Raghunath Das Goswami, whether you give everything up and live the most severe, simple life of tapasya, it is said when the parents heard of how Raghunath was living, they simply cried. They could not do anything but cry. Whether you are living like that, or whether you are living like Pundarik Vidyanidhi in all worldly opulence, but completely detached and attached to Krishna, your life is perfect. But we have to keep our focus very clear that the standard of success, the standard of wealth, is detachment from sense gratification, detachment from the facilities for sense gratification, and the real wealth is bhakti, devotion. One who takes pleasure in the chanting of the holy name, that person is the wealthiest man on earth. But one who cannot take pleasure in the chanting of the holy name, even if he is living in a castle, we should cry for that person. We should pity that person because he has nothing. This must be our conviction. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Renunciation means to give up the false sense of proprietorship. You have nothing. Everything is the property of Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Nothing is yours. And the only thing you have to renounce is the false conception that you have something to renounce. Everything is the property of God. Correct? So real renunciation, according to Rupa Goswami, prapanchakatiya budhya hari sambandhi vastana mamokshami puritya go vairagam palvukatite, is not to give up the things you have, but to use them for Krishna's pleasure. Use them in the service of Krishna rather than in the service of your senses. That is the highest renunciation. So we are not concerned with the English translation of renunciation. We are concerned with the explanation of renunciation given by the acharyas. And Rupa Goswami has described what is real renunciation. To use everything in the service of Krishna. To use nothing for one's own personal selfish interests. Huh? Any other questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.